Welcome to Reflections in the Dark here on Firefall Talk Radio Memorial Day Edition, Sunday, May 24th, 2015. It's already May. We're heading into summer. We're heading into the final stretch. And folks, we had a lot of craziness in the world. But before we get to any of that, welcome. Welcome. We thank you being here. Well, actually, I do. Joe said he might not make it. Family event. You know how it is, Memorial Day weekend. So I am your captain. I'll be flying solo. Buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy flight. I want to apologize for last week. All planned, notes ready to go, but I suffered a leg injury a couple of weeks ago that is not doing well, and it kind of took me out of the game. I wanted to get back in the game, but the coach benched me. But I'm back now and hobbling along, hopefully getting better, and would covet your prayers about this injury. It's pretty severe, but we press on. Quick announcement. Friday and Saturday, July 24th and 25th, 2015, I will be in Birmingham, Alabama, doing a Friday night teaching at a Shabbat service. You can come and celebrate Shabbat with us, and then teaching all day Saturday, a new teaching that's not been done before by me, or I think anyone else, about the power, about the upper room, about how it applies to you, involving the supernatural in your everyday life. This is going to be some cutting edge stuff, information that I've been sitting on for a while. Probably the content of the next book that should have already been written, but you know how that is. Location isn't locked down yet, but as soon as it is, it will be announced. I will also let you know about the local hotels if you decide to come in for the weekend. If you can, if you're within driving distance, maybe have some money for a vacation. You haven't been to a seminar yet or haven't been able to come see me speak. 2 months' notice. There's plenty of time to make plans. The websites are in process. I'm working with a person, one of our listeners and supporters, and a good brother of mine, and we're working together, and we're getting them together, new logos, new designs, a lot of changes coming. The other thing is the Firefall Network will be coming with it, and the online radio shows, The Porch, Reflections in the Dark, and whatever else we create will be done there, as well as webinars and the online classes. And the design is this, and the reason I'm sharing it with you is because we're in this together. The premise of what I've done since day one is that we are a community. We're in this together. And even though there are hundreds of you that listen, very few of you actually reach out. But the ones that do, I do my best to stay up to date and in communication with you and those that have asked for prayer that are a part of the Wednesday night fellowship, The Porch. You are on my list and on my lips and in my prayers every day. But basically, we are going to move Firefall Talk Radio to a new hosting site. We've been trying to find one for a while, but there have been some conflicts as far as computers and whether we can use Skype or not. I have found a place. I'm in discussions with them. And the exciting thing is they also offer video on demand and live streaming of video events so that when we grow to that point, we can just stay in the same place. We won't have to move. It'll be one-stop shopping for everything at the Firefall Network. So that, for me, is pretty exciting. This is the culmination of a vision that I've had for a very long time. And one of the things that I'm also looking at, if you would like to bring reports, maybe do a field report, maybe do your become one of our reporters, let me know, and we'll talk about it. You can send me a sample. Anything you do send will be recorded and probably edited first. The concept here, again, is to get you involved and to be interactive. Excuse me, I take a little drink there. Reflections in the Dark going through some changes, too. We pretty much kept the same format for almost 5 years now. Actually, it is 5 years. 5 years. Wow. I forgot that. It's May already. Yes, it's been 5 years, excuse me, that we've been doing this. So we've been doing weekly topics. And, you know, we would have a name, some kind of catchy title. Well, I think, not I think, I know. We're going to change Reflections in the Dark to a more weekly news show covering various topics pertaining to the paranormal, the supernatural, prophecy, the end times, etc. Same content, but being a little more diversified, not locking ourselves in each week to a theme. So that when you come here week to week, you're going to get a full report of what's going on in the world that week, whether it's prophecy, whether it's signs and wonders, signs of the times, in the news, whatever. It's all going to be available to you every week, which is also why we're looking for more content and more people that may want to send in a report. A couple of weeks ago, I asked about a summer schedule. Did you want us once a month, every other week, every week? Some of you answered. We're still working all that out. But considering the interruptions and the canceled shows we've had, it's lucky we're on the air at all. So I am thankful for that. I'm glad to be here tonight. Firefall Studio. If you've been listening, especially on Wednesday night, the porch, I've been talking about, I am taking one of the rooms in my house and building a audio video studio from which we will do the webinars, the online seminars, the teachings, the radio shows, everything that we would need to do. The equipment is being acquired piece by piece, a little bit at a time. And we're doing it in God's timing because that's how we do things. But it's coming. It's coming together. Whether I'll be fully up and running this summer or not, I don't know. But my goal is, once we soundproof the room and put the things up that need to be put up and put all the equipment in place and then do some tests and then get used to using the studio, probably more likely going to be fully up and running by the end of the summer. But you never know. So keep that in prayer. If you would like to support this, if you have access to equipment, maybe you know somebody that has a production company that went out of business that may want to donate it, or you have a non-for-profit entity, maybe you're part of a large organization, maybe they have some things in storage that we would be able to use, they could donate it to Firefall Media Group, get a tax deduction. A lot of different ways we could do this as opposed to raising the amount of money it's going to take. If you're interested, go to supernaturalresponse.net, fill out the contact information. It will get to me, or you can go to firefalltalkradio.com. Same thing, either one, and we will take it from there. Some of you have already helped out. Some have written me and said, hey, I want to do this, I want to do that. So it will come together. And folks, I am excited because once it's up and running, once the videos are happening, once the online seminars are happening, once we have the live video classes where people can interact with one another beside just listening to me, where we could do a teaching and ask questions and begin to share, this will be a culmination of a vision that I had as far back as 1997. At a time when technology could not do what I believe the Lord had shown me he wanted to do. And everything's in his time, the fullness of time. And as we hurtle down the tracks, I believe that we are going to be doing something that will impact not just the body, but the world in these final days. I really sincerely believe that the concept of Firefall will finally be fulfilled. And the same fire that fell on Mount Sinai, the same fire that fell on Mount Carmel, the same fire that fell in the upper room will begin to spread through this digital technology. So I am more than excited. I'm sure you can hear that in my voice. I've waited a long time to get to this place, to be where I could do this. And to have your support is beyond anything I could think or imagine. Your support, your prayers, everything that you offer, even just the email to encourage me and say, hey, keep going, don't give up. I'm in there with you, even if it's $5 a month, whatever it is. It's not about the money. The fact that you are investing into this means a lot to me. And I'm very thankful. Crazy week, folks. If you do like I do, maybe you don't do like I do. First thing every morning after my prayer time, after I make sure that I'm locked and loaded spiritually and everything's under the Lord's protection and I have a grasp on what to do, I see what's going on in the world. And the crazy thing about this, and I was discussing this with a brother of mine the other day, this kind of thing can really drive you crazy if you're not careful. And here's what I mean by that. The signs of the time from Matthew 24 and Luke 21 are firing off at a level that we have never seen before. I know people could say, oh, it's always been like this. No, it hasn't. Not like this. Not where you have what's going on in the Middle East. Not where you have what's going on in the economy. Not where you have what's going on in the weather. Not where you have the sin, the degradation, the morality. All these things are so overwhelming and powerful that we have to be awake. Now, that doesn't mean you become obsessed with these topics that we talk about. Doesn't mean that you become overwhelmed by them, fearful, that you're so focused on them that you forget the bigger picture. But let's just look real quick before we get to talking about Memorial Day. There's a lot of weird weather happening, even as we're speaking right now. As I speak to you right now, as you sit and listen to me, this flooding in Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Kansas, Louisiana, people are being swept away, rescuers being swept away, entire homes with people in them, one community, 300 homes in Texas gone. Norman, Oklahoma, the city's underwater, shopping malls, people are coming out not being able to cross the street. Families that were visiting, I just read an awful thing about a husband and wife and two kids that were visiting, and the water came through, flash flood, took them, took the whole family, and all they have found is the husband so far. So normally what I do is I get a story like that, and I stop and I pray. I pray for that family. I pray for the rescuers. I pray for the people. But folks, this is getting worse, and now there are more storms coming. Did you know that there are 40 volcanoes rumbling right now, 34 of which are on the Ring of Fire? The Ring of Fire is active in a way that has got the scientists and the people that watch that, it has their attention. It should have all of our attention, because if that thing goes, a chunk of the world goes with it. Society will shut down, and this is why you watch these things. Are you prepared? Are you prepared for not having access to your bank account for 2 to 3 weeks, maybe 30 days, because either by accident or on purpose, somebody has set off an EMP, which means all technology is fried. Cash registers don't work. ATMs don't work. The banks have no computers. Are you prepared? Do you have the ability to feed yourself and your pets for 30 days, for 2 days, for 3 days, for 4 days? Now, I'm not saying run out there and buy these giant buckets that some of these people are trying to sell you, or fill your house with food that 6 months from now you have to throw out, live done. But just watch. Watch the times and listen for the Spirit. And if He says, hey, buy a little extra of this week, buy a little extra of that, have some charcoal on hand, whatever the case may be awake, be alert, be aware. Seismic activity, earthquakes, seismic activity along the West Coast right now, with Oregon as its focus, has got a lot of people concerned. Now, of course, there are those that this is what they fixate on, and this is all they report about, and some of whom I would discard everything they say if every now and then they didn't tell the truth. But I've been watching, in fact, I was going to talk about it last time, the San Andreas Fault all along the state of California, ones and twos and threes, pinging, pinging, pinging. And when that happens, the plates shift. They flap, they shift. And like pickup sticks, remember that game, pickup sticks, when you were a kid? where you'd pick one up, and whoever made the thing collapse lost. Well, that's what plates are like. As they begin to shake, as they begin to shift, and all of a sudden there's a space because there's no plate holding it up, and that's when the earth breaks and you have an earthquake. Well, seismic activity from Nevada to the United Kingdom is rumbling. I'm not a scientist by any way, shape, or form, but I'm telling you what I see as I watch these things, the ones, the twos and threes, then every now and then you have a seven, like we have in India. You have those constant sixes in Papua New Guinea. Here's what I think, and I'm not prophesying. I'm just telling you what I think, what I believe I've heard in prayer. I believe we're going to have a nine, and I believe we're going to have it here in the United States. And if that happens, and it happens on the West Coast, and it happens in major metropolitan areas, it's going to set off a ripple in our economy, in people's lives. Just think about that real quick. The flooding, the earthquakes, the economy, all these things, from the crime, the riots. Folks, we're one catastrophe away from chaos and bedlam, which is why we need to keep an eye on the sky and we need to keep our knees on the floor. So here we are, Memorial Day edition, Reflections in the Dark. And if you notice, I didn't say happy Memorial Day, because the truth is at least half of it's not so happy. We're celebrating the fact that men and women have given their lives to serve this country. And some of them didn't come back. So I say, remember Memorial Day. Remember this day. Remember this weekend, which is actually tomorrow. Used to be celebrated on May 30th for decades, but in 1971, Congress established Memorial Day as the last Monday in May and also established it as a federal holiday. Remember those men and women who I have a tremendous amount of respect for, who have served this country in one way or another in one of the wars. And the Memorial Day actually traced back to the celebration of the Civil War and the lives lost there. Men and women, and even animals, that have given their lives, their times, their families, to stand up for this country, to stand up for others. And regardless of what your politics is, how you feel about government, how you feel about the flag, do not disrespect these men and women who answered the call to do what they believed was the right thing to do. And I will tell you what, I take sincere offense at some of what gets said and done. Even back in the 60s, I'm a child of the 60s, baby boomer. And after the Vietnam War and the disrespect given our men and women when they came back and the disrespect to the flag and all those things, I was one of those people who grew up at a time when everybody was doing that. I was standing up for the flag. I was standing up for the men and women. I was standing up for the ideals of this nation. Earned the nickname Captain America from my friends. And because that was a childhood hero, it kind of stuck. Now, I am smart enough, as you know from doing these shows, I get it. I get what was created and what is are two different things. I get it that there are men and women and power brokers and the banksters of the world that have taken something and corrupted it. But that does not mean that the men and women who put on the uniform are of that ilk. They are honorable men and women, as some of them gave their lives. The first state that Memorial Day was celebrated in, as a matter of record, was New York, and that dates back to May of 1866. But originally, it was meant to honor the military personnel who died in the Civil War. Did you know that roughly 620,000 Americans died in the Civil War? It was the deadliest war in U.S. history. And the sad thing is, those Americans killing one another. The blood that went into the ground, some of which still cries out to this day. Horrible to think that 620,000 Americans died in the Civil War and 644,000 have died in all other conflicts combined. It's amazing to me, the brutality and the inhumanity of man, but I'm not surprised because I read the Bible. And this goes back to the beginning of time. And it's going to be this way until the king comes back. There will be no peace until the Prince of Peace returns. In December 28th of 2000, President Bill Clinton signed the National Moment of Remembrance Act, which means tomorrow at 3 p.m., it's a national moment of remembrance. That's the moment, the time of day, that your flag starts out at half-mast, and then you raise it to full-mast, and you remember those that have died and those that are still alive that have served this nation. Do you know it wasn't always called Memorial Day? It was called Decoration Day. And the symbol of remembrance were red poppies. That became the symbol of remembrance. It was tradition to wear them to honor those who died in war. And even though Memorial Day began as a holiday honoring Union soldiers, and when it initially happened, the Confederate states did not participate. Some even now have a Confederate observance. And I know that that offends some, but I get it. If your father, your grandfather, great-grandfather, if your uncles four generations removed died but fought on the wrong side, are you supposed to ignore them? You're supposed to forget them? No, that was a war once again that had a little bit to do with slavery and a lot to do with money. Almost all wars have something to do with money, but we won't get into that because I'm trying to stay on task of honoring this day and those who served. The first Memorial Day was at Arlington National Cemetery. 5,000 people showed up. Now look at these casualties. And as you do this, if you are somebody that had a family member that served in one of these wars I'm about to mention, just take a moment. Just take a moment to remember them and to pray for all the other families that lost someone during that time. Civil War, like I said, 620,000 Americans, 365 Union soldiers, and 260,000 Confederate soldiers. Some were related. In some cases, brother against brother, cousins against cousins, just a horrible, horrible time. And not all of them died from war. Some of them died from disease. World War I, 116,516 Americans died. Again, half of that from disease. World War II, 405,399 Americans. The Korean War, 36,574. The Vietnam conflict, 58,220 Americans died, and more than 47,000 Americans were killed in action, and 11,000 died of other causes. Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm, only 148 U.S. battle deaths and 145 non-battle deaths. Operation Iraqi Freedom, 4,422 U.S. service members died. Operation New Dawn, 66 U.S. service members. Operation Enduring Freedom, 2,318 members of the U.S. military have died as of May 12th last year. So I don't really know if those numbers have changed, but I salute them all. I acknowledge each and every one of them. But here's a part of the story that no one talks about, and this is why I'm doing this. I have a heart for the military. Unfortunately, at the time that I would have joined, and I did go discuss it with a recruiter. During that time, they were very stringent. If you wore glasses, if you had any kind of eyesight or hearing problem, you could join, but they'd stick you behind a desk. And if you, like me, had severe allergies at that time, they didn't have a way to combat it, to keep the allergies down. Again, I was discouraged. When it got done with my eyes, my ears, and my allergies, I was discouraged. today they just check for a pulse and a heartbeat and you're signed up. So I didn't get to do that. But as much as I missed out on the camaraderie and the brotherhood that I've seen through one of the members of SRT, who is a retired Navy SEAL, I also know that my steps were being ordered and that that was not meant for me. And had I done that, I might not be sitting here talking to you right now. I wouldn't have the wife and the sons that I have. I wouldn't be doing what I do in ministry. So he kept me from doing that. But these men and women that have served us have come back from the horrors of war into the horrors of life. You know, here in Reflections in the Dark, we talk about the shadows. We talk about the darkness. We talk about the places where the enemy hides, where things happen that nobody wants to talk about. Well, guess what? Some of those are our veterans. Our veterans come back with PTSD, depression, thoughts of suicide, some act on them. As of September 2014, there are 2.7 million American veterans of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars who are suffering, who have come back and into a society that, for the most part, really doesn't want them. And I know that sounds harsh, but you had the 8.2 Vietnam era veterans. You have all of these people that have come back, that have put in their time. And 20% of our Iraq and Afghanistan veterans have PTSD and or depression. I got to guard my words here. Yes, the VA is there to help them. Let me rephrase that. Yes, the VA was designed to be there to help them. And yes, there are programs and there are grants and there's this and there's that. But for the most part, these men and women, they come back used up, burnt out emotionally, come back to broken homes, and they struggle. They struggle to fit back in. They struggle to put behind them the things they saw. And the thing about Iraq and Afghanistan and the last military campaigns is that we have burnt them out. We send them back and we send them back and we send them back, and they do multiple tours until there's no humanity left. We fracture them, we use them, and then we discard them. And the one thing I always wondered about, and this is even way back after Vietnam, we train men and women to kill. And at the higher ranking special operations, special forces types, we turn them into killing machines. And then when they're done, we send them back and say, hey, go on now, have a normal life, have a nice life. How does that work? I've met many of these men and women. Some of them are my friends. And some of them, well, they won't even talk about what they've experienced. They don't want to bring it up. They found a way to suppress it, to lock it up in a box. There's a darkness that has come back. Now, let's add to that those that have come back from Iraq and Afghanistan, but especially Iraq, a land that the demonic activity has been going on for thousands of years. They've been walking in the dirt, breathing in the dirt. They've been interacting in places that go back to the beginning of time, to where from our shows and our experiences, from what I write about in my book, we know that there is a spiritual and a supernatural element. And not many of them know how to deal with that. They don't know how to block it out. They don't know how to keep it from changing their life. I've talked to a young man who's a believer here in town who has been in some really dark demonic places. Talked about the Battle of Fallujah, where he knew what was going on, but the other soldiers didn't. They'd hear the war cries and the sounds the enemy soldiers were making. And what he said was, he said it made his skin crawl and made some men's knees knock, because you knew that this wasn't human. If they're not hopped up on drugs, they're demonically possessed. And the bloodshed is awful. And now we send them back. We pat them on the shoulder and we say, thank you. And we wonder why we have the homelessness we do. We wonder why 50% of them with PTSD don't seek treatment. You want to know why? Because of how they're treated at the VA and what happens to them and how they get forgotten. And even the half that do get treatment, it's according to the RAND study, it's only minimally adequate. They come back with no skills. 90% of them have some kind of traumatic brain injury. Over 260,000 veterans from these last two campaigns in Iraq and Afghanistan have been diagnosed with what's called TBI, traumatic brain injury, much more common than you would think. Add to that the 7% that have both PTSD and TBI. And we wonder why they can't function. We wonder why the alcoholism rate is so high and the drug rate is so high and the homelessness is so high. We have just ignored this problem. We have turned our back on the fact that more active duty personnel die by their own hand than in combat, according to a 2012 article by the New York Times. It's just amazing. And here's the thing that I have a heart for is homeless veterans. When we were in Tallahassee, Florida, if you've listened to The Porch, I talk about a home fellowship that we had that we would go and minister to the homeless. And then on Sundays, and we would do that on Saturday, we'd feed them and hang out with them. And then on Sunday, anybody that wanted to come to church could. And we would bring them to our house. Started out with two and three and then grew. Originally, it was just a free meal, but then the signs and wonders began to happen and miracles began to happen. But many of these homeless people were veterans. In fact, our very first person that we helped was a veteran. His name was Mike. And we walked into the park and we saw these guys hanging out. We asked if we can hang out with them and we had some food and some sandwiches and some apples. And one of the guys was real blunt. He goes, oh, great, another group of Christians that don't want to make themselves feel good. But we proved ourselves by being there every week and being consistent. But Mike was the very first guy I prayed with, the very first guy we led to the Lord, and the very first one of these homeless men, the homeless veterans, that received a miracle. And tonight on Reflections in the Dark, you're getting a little bit of both The Porch and Reflections. But here's the fact, folks. I've tried to be kind of different on Sunday nights with Joe. I've tried to keep it a little toned down, but the fact is I'm a man of God. I'm a man of God 24/7. This is who I am. This is what I do. Even with SRT, what we do is based upon the power of the Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus, the Bible, and all that goes with it. That's why we're different than anybody else. That's why we're more successful than anybody else. But Mike started coming to the home fellowship. He started to be there on Saturdays, and we helped them get a job. We helped a couple of guys get cleaned up and get jobs. And then Mike disappeared. We couldn't find him. And just before service on Sunday morning in our home, they found Mike. He had gone on a bender. He'd been drinking vodka nonstop for 3 days. He had told me some of what he had seen and done in the army, in the military. That's why he came home and abandoned his family, was sleeping under a bench, sleeping in the bushes. Tried to get cleaned up, but the demons haunted him. So he went on a bender and literally tried to drink himself to death. Well, some of the other guys found him, and they dragged him to my home. And just before we were about to begin, somebody said, hey, we got Mike outside. So I went outside. And there's Mike, and they're holding him up. His lips are purple. His fingertips are losing their color, and I know what's going on. He's on the verge of alcohol poisoning. And even he said, Pastor, I'm not coming into your house. I won't die in your house. I won't do that to you. And I won't do that in front of your boys. And I grabbed Mike by his lapels, basically lifted him off the ground and said, not only won't you die, but you're going to get healed. And I told the others, drag him in there. So they dragged him into the kitchen where they stood. And we went into the family room and we did the music by CDs. And I don't know, 2, 3, 4 songs in, all of a sudden I see a commotion going on in the kitchen. And out of the corner of my eye, I see Mike jumping up and down. He's stone cold sober. Not an ounce of alcohol in his body, all the color back in him. He received a miracle. And of course, that went like wildfire through the homeless camps. And we started bringing 20 and 30 people to our house. And the signs and wonders began to flow. And this is what I want to tell you. You want to see power? You want to see miracles? Then you got to be around people who need them. And you got to be willing to be a conduit of that. But folks, we have got veterans that are homeless. 8% of which are female. They're predominantly male, but there's women out there too. They're mostly single. They live in the urban areas. They suffer from mental illness, alcohol and substance abuse, or some other disorders. Right now in America, 12% of the adult homeless population are veterans. Take that statistic and dwell on it for a little bit. Men and women who have served this country and given it their all have come back and they're homeless. 40% of those are ethnic, African American, or Hispanic. They become younger and younger all the time. When I was in Fort Benning, Georgia, a couple of years ago, visiting a friend of my son's, I went out with him to meet some of his friends, pointed out a young man to me, said, how old do you think he is? I said, I don't know, 25, 30, somewhere in there. He goes, he's 22. He's done 4 tours. He's got 10 bullet holes in his body. And the last time they brought him back from the dead, he went home on leave and his wife had left him. And I looked at this young man. He was a hollowed out shell of a person. And I realized somewhere along the line, they were going to kick him to the curb and say, go have a nice life. What's wrong with this picture in America, folks? What is wrong that men and women that served in World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Grenada, Panama, Lebanon, the Persian Gulf War, Afghanistan, Iraq, all variations of that conflict? They've done anti-drug efforts in South America. Nearly half of those homeless veterans are from Vietnam. That's what Mike was from. And they've served this country 3 years, 4 years. They gave it their all and finally thought, okay, now I'm going to go back and live my life. And that's their life. Sleeping on a bench, sleeping on a curb, numbing themselves with alcohol. Some of which, like this guy Mike and some of the others, so desperate for teeth work because their teeth are rotten or falling out that they smoke nonstop to keep their gums numbed by the nicotine. And we sit in judgment of them and we step over them and we ignore them. Welcome to Memorial Day 2015 in America. I don't know what state you live in, but the top 10 states for homelessness, Florida's number 10, by the way. You've got Maine, you've got California, Nevada, Hawaii, Alaska. They're all in the top 10. You have small pockets up in the east, Massachusetts, Vermont, and Maine. They're there, but not so much. New Hampshire and Rhode Island, Connecticut, they're smaller numbers. They're higher on the list. But folks, what's wrong? How did we get here? You go down South Florida, Georgia, and parts of Tennessee. Welcome to Memorial Day 2015 as we eat our corn on the cob and our watermelon and our hamburgers and whatever else we eat right now somewhere in America as the fireworks go off and as people celebrate and wave their flags, they're just trying to figure out how they're going to get something to eat. They're diving into a dumpster. They're hoping somebody will feed them. Welcome to America. Memorial Day 2015. And here's what I say. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse when they dump all these soldiers from the Middle East back on the American soil with no hope, no future, no occupation, no place to live, no place to go, VA medical care, which is no medical care at all. That's Memorial Day. Well, we can't talk about the military without touching on Jade Helm 15. I didn't want to muddy the whole concept of talking about my brothers and sisters in the military. And to any of you out there that are military, know that there is a 20-foot flagpole in my driveway that tomorrow I bought a new flag to put up. I'll put it in first thing in the morning. I'll put it halfway up and I'll put it up all the way. Before anybody else gets crazy about the whole politics in America and the red, white, and blue, I do it for what I believe was what God created and for those men and women. I don't ask your permission. I don't need it. Jade Helm 15. We're talking about the military. Jade Helm 15, we talked about it here. I don't have to go into a lot of detail because everybody and their brother's talking about it. You've got the quails and the Joneses and everybody else in between talking about it. They'll even sell you product for it in case you need it. But let's get real. Jade Helm 15 is a Tom Clancy novel come to life. And we really don't know what it is. Oh, we know what we're told by the military. We know what we're told by the news. We know what we're told by the conspiracy theorists, who, by the way, even drive me crazy. Because they'll put up a YouTube video and say, folks, this is it. This is it. Martial law. Martial law, it's coming. And then you see the date on the video, and it was 5 years ago when they made that video. And they just keep putting them back up. And you people on social media, you're firing up links. You're firing up links. Oh my goodness, you have to watch this. And you don't even look at the date and you don't even look at the source. And it's gotten so ridiculous that if I could get off of social media completely, I would. But Jade Helm 15, here's what it is. Here's what I know that it is. It's realistic training exercises revealing military expansion in an unprecedented way. For eight weeks, SOCOM-sponsored joint military and interagency unconventional warfare training exercise is being conducted or will be conducted. It hasn't begun yet. Begins on July 15th. Conducted throughout parts of Texas, Utah, New Mexico, Arizona, California, Nevada, and Florida, with some smatterings of Missouri and Louisiana in there. From July 15th to September 15th, this massive military exercise will be going on. Special forces from at least four branches of the military will be role-playing, conducting imaginary covert missions into territories labeled as hostile, Texas and Utah, and Southern California, traveling from state to state in military aircrafts. Even SOCOM admits, while multi-state training exercises such as these are not unique to the military, the size and the scope of Jade Helm sets this one apart. Let's do some of the facts. This is from the U.S. SOCOM fact sheet. Jade Helm 15, multi-state Department of Defense approved training exercise designed to validate Army Special Operations Forces in the performance of their primary core mission, special warfare. Army Special Operations Forces have been at the center of the global war on terror and overseas contingency operations for more than 14 years, and it is important, this is their writing, that they stay fully trained on all their core tasks. Training exercises like this are significant to Army Special Operations Forces' success overseas. U.S. Army Special Operations Command, that's what SOCOM stands for, has conducted multi-state training exercises before, but Jade Helm 15 will be the largest. Training Helm, now listen here, folks. The training exercise for Jade Helm is realistic military training, which relies on training away from military installation to expose Army Special Operations Forces to unfamiliar conditions. Translation, in the cities, in your neighborhoods, in your schools, outside of the military installations. And according to this fact sheet, no foreign military will be involved. So if we see any UN military equipment, then we'll know that that part was not true. 1,200 soldiers participating in Jade Helm 15 war games across 17 locations in Texas alone. There will be 60 soldiers in plain clothes in those towns, in those areas, carrying guns with blank ammunition as a part of the exercise. Now, all of the conspiracy theorists, all of the YouTube videos, all of the online news people have been banging this drum. We've talked about it. Some of you have sent me links. Even major news networks are now covering it. Even governors and senators and other people are raising the caution flag. And it hasn't slowed it down one bit. So, what do you do? You know, there's nothing new about this. This has been done before, again, not to this size, but from 1985 to 2012, the U.S. military has done 92 joint land use studies in preparation for the expansion of its domestic training. And they've done it in all but 16 U.S. states. This is the first one we're hearing about because it's the first one of this size. And it's coming at a time in America where people are nervous. But like I said, it's been going on for a while. Did you know that the U.S. Navy has been using the sea and its inhabitants, to test their updated weaponry, such as electromagnetic weapons, no matter the damage or the danger to the sea and to those inhabitants? And they've done it knowing full well what would happen. And they've done it with the attitude of, we need it and we're going to do it. Guided missile submarines, unmanned aerial systems, implementation of new air and sea surface targeting, electronic signal emitters, small-scale underwater minefields. All to practice. I don't know what they're practicing for, but I have an opinion. And that's all that this is. It's an opinion. They're either practicing for the next world war, which I don't think. I think that they are practicing and preparing for civil unrest. Because if the bottom falls out of the economy in the coming fall, as many are predicting, the end of the Shemitah year, the end of a financial cycle, Feast of Tabernacles around that period, mid to late September. Well, wait a second. When did this exercise end? September 15th. Huh. Something to all that. Are they preparing for something? Or they want to make sure that they're ready to go when the food runs out and the money's not there and people act out and these inner city riots we're seeing and America's on fire? I don't know. It would make a good Tom Clancy novel if he wasn't dead. Here's what's even more amazing to me. We're sitting here talking about it. I've covered it a couple of times. Majority of Americans don't have a problem with it. The Rasmussen Reports did a telephone survey. Found that 65% of U.S. voters favor the U.S. military conducting training exercises in their state. Only 16% are opposed, and 19% are undecided. Bah, sheeple, sheeple. Nearly 2 out of 3 Americans believe the government has too much power in this country and that too many of their fellow countrymen are dependent upon the government for financial support, but yet they don't have a problem with this. How is that possible? How is that possible that we don't have a problem with the fact that the global war on terror has set up shop in our backyards for good? I don't know. Memorial Day 2015 has got some conflicting emotions for me. I celebrate the men and women. I celebrate the red, white, and blue and what it was supposed to stand for, but I am deeply concerned and in prayer. Because here's the other thing, my brother and I, that we're talking about this. Everybody's up in arms. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm locked and loaded. I have 1,000 rounds of ammunition. Really? Really? Trained military ballistic equipment. You're outnumbered 10 to 1. What are you going to do? Stop the foolishness. You're not going to do anything. Well, I'm going to stand out in my driveway, fully locked and loaded, and they can send me to heaven because I ain't staying. If you have never had a gun pointed at you, you really do not understand how that feels. I've experienced it twice in my life. I've had knives put to me and other things like that, both as a civilian and doing security and bodyguard work. It's not a feeling that is natural. And your natural instinct is not to react. It is to submit because you want to live. So let's stop with all these guys that are out there writing the blogs and doing the shows and telling you to get ready for civil war. Do you really think that the powers that be are going to let you do that? No. So let's stop. Let's stop with all that talk. If you want to pray, let's pray. I'll pray. I'll be prepared spiritually. I'll be prepared however the Lord wants me to be prepared. But I am smart enough to understand that in this particular instance, resistance is futile. I've listened to these bloggers. I've seen the stories. I've read the articles. I've gotten the emails. If you really think that you can stand up to them, go right ahead. Let me know how it works out for you. Because Christians are being purged from the military. Law enforcement is being militarized. And the UN, even though they might not be training with us on Jade Helm, have been training with us for years. And foreign soldiers wearing the little blue, baby blue hats that the UN wear won't have any problem kicking in your door and arresting you. So stop. Pray. Figure out how to take care of yourself and your family to have enough food. Maybe it never happens. Maybe the Lord tarries and for the next 20 years, nothing happens. Or maybe it happens tomorrow. I don't know. Nobody does. This is all speculation. This is all opinion. Stop resting upon the words of everybody on the internet. By the way, anybody can have a show. Anybody, including us, we've had one for 5 years. Blog Talk offers it for free. The only time you have to pay for it is if you want to broadcast in prime time, which is 7 o'clock to 11 o'clock. Anybody can get on the internet and just spout their stuff and get on YouTube, and they have, and they do. They're not experts. They're not trained. They're just people with an opinion. And that's all that we are. This is an opinion. It's commentary. That's really what tonight has been since I'm flying solo and we're talking about the military and we're celebrating Memorial Day. It's commentary. Whatever we do, unless we tell you it's experiential knowledge, it's an opinion. What's your opinion? What do you think? What are you going to do? That has to become your question as you get up each day. As you pray, as you prepare for your day, and hopefully you do. Hopefully you don't step out that home without having some kind of prayer time. And I don't mean, you know, a 60-second devotion while you have ESPN on in the background and looking at Facebook to the side. I mean real prayer time. Understanding that you live in a fallen world. And some of these things we talk about and experience on with SRT are out and about and doing their thing. What are you going to do? Are you awake? You write me and say, hey, I'm awake. And then I see your post on social media and I shake my head and I realize, no, you're not awake. You have some thoughts, you have some ideas, but you're not awake. Reflections in the Dark, folks, Memorial Day edition. Thank you, men and women of the military who have served us. And for those that gave their lives, I can't thank you, but I can tell you how appreciative I am and how sorry I am for you and your families that you're not here. And for those that are sleeping under a bench or sticking a needle in their arm because they came back broken, my heart's broken for you. I will pray, and hopefully you will too. Hopefully you'll pray for these people. Hopefully if you can help them out, you will. Both my boys have learned from us when we did the homeless ministry. They keep things in their cars, blankets, food. They see a homeless person, especially if he's a veteran, they'll go in the store and they'll get him some food. They'll ask him what he needs and they'll get him for him. Socks. One guy had not called home in a while and my son bought him a phone with some time on it and stood there while he called one of his kids. That's the gospel in action, folks. That's what this is all about. It's dark out there. Yeah, it is. But I'm not worried about the darkness because I know the one who gave the light. I'm not going to curse the darkness. I'm going to praise the light. And the darker it gets, the brighter I'm going to shine. How about you? Will you be there with me? Will you be standing with me side by side? Spiritual stuff hits the fan. I don't know. We'll find out. I know where I'll be. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I will dig my heels in, and when having done all, I will stand. Whether it's UFOs in the skies or things coming out of the pit, doesn't matter what it is. I know who my King is, and the same spirit that raised him from the dead's inside of me. Nope, it's dark out there. We're going to leave the light on. And every now and then, we're going to go into that darkness for you, and we're going to help you. I'm Richard Grund on behalf of my co-host who's not here tonight, Joe Citrone, and on SRT. This has been Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio.